go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this Friday on the front porch, the 12th day of May, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. This program is live. And if you'd like to head over to HeadOn.live and participate in the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. Well, pop in and you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Kid Mark and Squeaky and Theo, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who being a third stage guild navigator, nonetheless, has declined to fold space and become Man Cave. And he is capably assisted by his colleague, Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. No word on the whereabouts just yet of Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Soup. Hi, I'm Robin. We are at week's end. We survived a near disaster, and thank you all again who jumped into help keep the horn on the air in a moment of genuine crisis. I still have to meet more of Appalachian Power's extortion demand, but for now, that's the 16th, though. I mean, that's 4 days away. Hopefully by then we'll raise another $600 or so and get that monkey off the back and pretty much be done with winter billing, one hopes. Thank you. Thank you, one and all. And every program here begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And consequently, thanks go out to our 12th day of the month PayPal subscribers as we head toward the middle of the month. Thank you so much to Gary in New York. Thank you, Gary, and thank you to Paul. Thank you so much. We finished the program yesterday with a fundraising goal at $575, but Janice jumped in, as did Lori. Janice and Lori each jumped in and took us down to $530. Thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that, Janice and Lori. So that's where we stand, trying to finish the week even, $530, and hopefully that'll happen over the course of the next 3 hours. And of course, this is, Ralph's just jumped in with her birthday challenge. Ralph's turned 68, and turned 68 yesterday, and I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful day, Ralph. And had mentioned earlier that she would kick in and would love it if people joined in and helped her celebrate her 68th birthday. I hope so, too. So it is Friday on the front porch, And that means that in about 55 minutes or so, depending on how long I run my mouth, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday to see what's on everybody's mind in a group discussion. If you have never participated in Friday in the Front Porch, it's a rousing discussion. And maybe and new voices are always welcome. New voices are always welcome any day of the week on the horn. But Friday's a great entree, not like, you know, main course meal, but a great entree into the overall conversation. If you've never tried it before, this is probably the easiest talk program in which to engage in such conversation. So try it out. There's a button at the top of headon.live for jumping into the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. And remember, if you want to send a contact request to me on Skype, there's a new account, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Robin Kincaid Horn. And if you send me a contact request, I will approve it. As long as, you know, you're not telling me about your Bitcoin success stories or how does the message usually read? Hello, I am American Army personnel colonel on special assignment in Yemen. Would like to be friends, please. Those get the blocky block. But jump on in. The conversation should be good. I saw something. Now, this is, you might deem this partly out of the, or it's certainly out of the mainstream. I doubt if anybody else is going to talk about this today on our side of the political aisle. But as I've discussed in the past, I get these press releases. I got one today from U.S. Senator Shelley Moore, arch in a bad wig, Capito. She's the ranking Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. What is Shelley arch in a bad wig, Moore, Capito excited about today? Oh, funny you should ask. I have the answer. Today, U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito, RWV, ranking member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, released the below statement, applauding Senate passage this week of two formal challenges to the Biden administration's rules listing the, wait for it, northern long-eared bat as endangered and expanding the definition of critical habitat. I read that, and it just kind of got all over me. I've been involved in environmental justice and human rights activism for a third of my life now. And this is just so transparently evil. It brought to mind the fact that the Republican Party, in for instance, in how they respond to, say, climate change or potential extinction events for various species, the Republican Party, the maggots, are literally the enemy of everything that lives on this planet, including humanity. Now, you would think, but they're humans too. And nominally, they are. But the fact of the matter is, they worship money, utterly oblivious to the fact that they can't eat it. What is that old saying attributed to some wise indigenous person? Only when the last tree is cut down, only when the last river dries up, will white men learn that they cannot eat money. Something like that. Yes, yes, the junior senator from West Virginia is on a sacred crusade against the northern long-eared bat. You know why? Of course you do. Because the northern long-eared bat gets in the way of fossil fuels. And in particular, mountaintop removal. Which also happens to kill, it kills hillbillies. The people who have to live near mountaintop removal and breathe the filth that comes off of the sites and is inescapable in terms of not breathing it. And Shelley Moore Capito is angry at the northern long-eared bat. A cute little critter. It's about 3 to 3.7 inches long, with a wingspan of about 9 to 10 inches. And in the eastern half of the United States and Canada, basically from Canada down to North Carolina and Alabama, they can be found in forested habitats. They roost in hardwood trees during the summer. And, of course, the first thing that has to go on a mountaintop removal site are the trees, and then the mountain, and the streams. Yeah. They hibernate in the winter. And it is threatened, especially in the northeast portion of its range, by a thing called white nose syndrome. And white nose syndrome caused the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to list it under Section 4D of the Endangered Species Act. And the problem is, though, it is native to central Appalachia as well. Where the northern long-eared bat has a real problem living in the midst of massive explosions. Among other things, they're a handy species to have around because they are insectivores. They eat bugs. Kind of like possums can eat 30 or 40 times their weight in ticks. Possums are great to have around, but possums aren't endangered. But northern long-eared bats are. So Shelley Moore Capito, ever on guard for the safety, the security, and the sanctity of the coal industry, is a diehard foe of the long-eared bat. And so the Republican, so she thinks she knows better than biologists, zoologists, batologists, and that everybody's wrong, and she and her maggot colleagues are right in that northern long-eared bat is not endangered. Here's the thing, though. This isn't just something that passed the Senate Environment Public Works Committee. This was passed by the whole Senate. And one would expect that the MAGA House will do the same. And then Joe Biden will veto it. The Senate has passed Congressional Review Act disapprovals this year, going back to March, of the Waters of the United States rule, because Republicans and maggots, I mean, why do I say and maggots? Maggots are enemies of clean drinking water and clean water at all. They passed a Congressional Review Act disapproval with the help of Joe Manchin of the heavy-duty vehicle emissions rule that seeks to reduce the poisons that come from heavy-duty diesel trucks. Yeah. And then this one. Matt. I wasn't even thinking like that. You're awful. Matt says, white nose syndrome. I had that in the early 80s. There might be a 12-step program for bats. Easy does it, y'all. Gross national product of Peru, Matt. Bolivian marching powder. Now, oh, Matt, now, damn it. Now I've got this vision of a northern long-eared bat with a little piece of McDonald's straw and a mirror. He caught up with me in the late 80s. I'm sorry, I'll be better in a minute. Oh, goodness. That was just perfect, Matt. Perfect. Timing, everything. I wonder what you're going to say about this, then. Because Shelley Moore Capito and the maggots are also mad at the lesser prairie chicken. I wish I was kidding. The lesser prairie chicken. Does that mean they root for the greater prairie chicken? Here's a... Oh my God, says Darlene in Connecticut. She's angry at a 3-inch bat that's tiny and those little babies have succumbed to that terrible fungus around here. They were so cool to see in the skies at night. It's rare to see them now, sadly. Shelly bitch and the whole Senate is FOS. They're terribly endangered, these little bats, and we need our bats. Senate, bunch of freaks and bullies. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. So they're mad at the northern long-eared bat. They hate the lesser prairie chicken. I don't know if this means that they're fans of the greater prairie chicken. Yeah, it was 9 days ago. Doc Marshall, you know, never eat at a place called Mom's. And never play cards with a guy named Doc. Doc Marshall is a senator from Kansas, Stan. And he and Jerry, aptly named Moran, and the other senator from Kansas, Stan, and James Lankford of Oklahoma, Stan, and the other Oklahoma, Stan senator, Mark Wayne Mullen, gonna say it that way. Mark Wayne. Markwin. Trying to reduce it to one syllable. Markwin. And Shelley Moore Capito and Katie Britt, the newly minted senator and anointed replacement of Richard Shelby. Well, the Congressional Review Act was used in the Senate to pass a disapproval of listing the lesser prairie chicken as part of the Endangered Species Act. They claim listing the lesser prairie chicken will harm states like Kansas and pose significant burdens for farmers, ranchers, and energy producers in our rural communities and prairie states. Shelley Moore Capito, what the are you doing on that bill? My family's been wandering around these hills for nigh 300 years, and we're fresh out of prairies, hon.
Public and private partnerships have had a great success conserving the LPCs.
Oh, it's the LPC now. It doesn't even get its full name. Bullshit, says the SLW. Habitats in Kansas and increasing the bird's population. The federal government must not handcuff these conservation efforts with burdensome government regulation. Doc Marshall, whom I would not trust to put on a goddamn Band-Aid, said,
when will this administration learn that a one-size-fits-all model...
Anytime they don't like it, it's a one-size-fits-all model. Did you ever notice that? I have my own problems with one-size-fits-all because it most often doesn't. Does not work in rural America.
With a population that is on the rise and tens of millions of acres conserved, the evidence don't support designating the lesser prairie chicken as a threatened species. In fact, the lesser prairie chicken is better protected now than ever. With a population that's been growing since 2014, we done got six of them. The ESA, the Endangered Species Act, get this. The Endangered Species Act is just another weaponized tool Biden is using to attack rural America. You know, we talked about first and second references in journalism.
And I asked why Nitwit Nero was constantly referred to as President Trump in that debacle a couple of nights ago. And Flavio wrote in and said, I wouldn't read too much into it. Well, how about the fact that the first reference to the President of the United States in this press release just calls him Biden?
Yeah, I'm proud to have led this resolution of disapproval in the Senate and thankful to my colleagues who joined me in this fight to stand up for our farmers and ranchers.
And then there was Senator Moran earning his name.
Today, I voted to protect farmers, ranchers, and producers from the unnecessary consequences of listing the lesser prairie chicken. Listing the bird as a threatened or endangered species is not the answer. Plain and simple, we need more rainfall, not more regulation.
It probably goes without saying that Senator the Moran, does not acknowledge the reality of climate change. Probably also doesn't acknowledge the fact that Kansas has pretty much depleted the entire aquifer under all the land that is otherwise known as Kansas.
The Endangered Species Act,
this is James Lankford.
The Endangered Species Act has cost landowners, producers, and many more millions of dollars, and yet only has about 2% success rate.
And then there's Mark Wayne.
Radical environmentalists are doing all they can to hinder energy independence and agricultural production in Oklahoma.
See, once again, just like the northern long-eared bat is in the way of blowing away more mountains in central Appalachia, the lesser prairie chicken is harassing those poor little innocent fossil fuel producers. They are. This is like something out of a Marvel movie, okay? I mean, this is Thanos, only stupider. These people have to live on this planet, but they think there's something special about them so that it doesn't really matter that much if, you know, species go extinct.
Well, I ain't never been to no Lesser Prairie Chicken Barbecue. They probably too stringy to eat.
Stand by. The things I do on this program. Lee and Bernadette both were intrigued at the idea of what in the world is a batologist. And Bernadette says, you made me look, so now you know. Chiropterologist. Well, I went to one of those once. No wonder my back didn't feel better. Chiropterologist. Jesus, we'd probably better not even say that name into the ear of the universe. Due to the specific biology of the research object and inventory methods, a chiropterologist is an expert who specializes in the study of one unique group of animals, the bat. So I wonder, when chiropterologists have a convention, do they walk around looking at each other and saying, I'm Batman? Thank you, Bernadette, and thank you, Lee, in New York. Someone who studies bats. Thanks, Flavio. The rest of it wasn't, you know. But I still think it's going to be terribly, terribly confusing as referring to presidents as former. For instance, the man is in hospice and he's dying. And the reference on the multimillionaire for-profit media is former President Jimmy Carter. And yet Caitlin Collins was sitting there saying, President Trump. If Nitwit Nero is in fact the Republican nominee, and if there are debates with President Biden, who is the president of the United States of America, it's going to be a little weird if the moderators refer to both of them as president, President Trump and President Biden. This ain't the Roman Empire, and we don't have dual Caesars. Flavio wants you to know that what he said was, I've heard people call former Clinton President Clinton in interviews, even though he's a private citizen. Just like people still refer to Al Franken as Senator Franken, even though he too is a private citizen. That's a problem with their civic culture that would never happen in France, where you're just Monsieur when you're no longer in office and not Monsieur le Président. Yeah, what is former in French anyway? But my point stands. So they don't like the prairie chicken. They don't like bats. There's a lot of people they don't like. They don't like the people who live near mountaintop removal and protest having to live with mountaintop removal. I will never forget when Shelley Moore Capito, I met her down at the state capitol one day, and I said, you know, I'm a grandparent, and I'm a West Virginian. Where are you, real West Virginian? Yes, ma'am, I'm a real West Virginian. My people have been here for a hell of a lot longer than yours. Well, I've never met a real West Virginian that didn't like the coal industry. Ma'am, you probably haven't asked. When you run around with the friends of coal, you're not going to hear from the people who have to actually deal with its filth and misery. Huh. We do not have a pair of Mensa members for our senators here. What's that, Emilio? Not only do the chiropterologists say, I'm Batman, They also screech at each other to greet one another and assess their relative distance from each other.
Have a mosquito?
No, thank you. They're lovely this time of year. But that just caught my eye. What kind of... But this is the Republican way. Maybe when we get to the roundtable portion of the program, maybe we'll discuss or look at. I remember when they got all butthurt over the snail darter.
Snail darters are keeping America from having progress. They're ruining the country.
And in the Great Northwest, this may play into Theo's field of expertise. Wasn't there an owl up in the forests of the Northwest that the loggers said,
"It's going to destroy the logging industry forever if we can't kill none of them owls."
Yeah, I like that thought, Theo. Theo says the lesser prairie chicken is probably flipping off Kansas State representatives with an upraised middle wing feather. Well, that's probably only because they don't suffer from white nose syndrome. What? Then again, rumor has it that Nitwit Nero himself has had a little white nose syndrome.
And that's why he sounds so silent.
Spotted owl. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, thank you, Irish Dave. The spotted owl in old growth forests. There's a story. A fellow was out in a national forest, and he got lost and didn't know if he was going to find his way back and ran out of food. But he was a competent outdoorsman. So he made a snare, and well, he actually caught a bald eagle, and he killed it, and he ate it. And as is always the case, a conservation officer immediately appeared and arrested him for killing an endangered bird, our national symbol. And so they hauled him before the judge. He's in a national forest, so federal jurisdiction. Federal judge looked. He told his stories. "I've been lost for days. I was starving to death. And I would have eaten anything I caught. It just happened to be a bald eagle." And the judge says, "Well, this is truly an extenuating circumstance. Your survival was paramount. So I'm gonna order that this case be dismissed as excusable." Bangs the gavel and looks at the guy and said, "All right, I'm sorry. I gotta know. What's bald eagle taste like?" The guy looks at him for a second and says, "A lot like spotted owl." "I'll be here all night. Don't forget to tip your hostess." I'm sorry. This is just so patently ugly and stupid. But then again, we're talking about maggots, aren't we? Yeah, and just because I get their stupid emails... I got one here.
"Friend.
This just landed about, 7 minutes ago.
"Friend. Ronald Reagan released a famous ad in the 1980s called Morning in America. But under Biden's disastrous presidency, we are now..."
All caps, underline.
"Morning.
With a U.
In America. And 2024 is our final chance to save it. Reagan warned that if we don't defend our freedom...
Liberal Reagan.
If we don't defend our freedoms, one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Men.
So he's produced a dumbass ad, Morning in America. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different contribute buttons. Can contribute $24, $47, $75, $100, $250. Contribute other amount. Kind of makes you want to send him a box full of shit in the mail, doesn't it? Ooh, that's mean. Ah, ancien. Monsieur Président ancien. L'ancien président. Lee adding, I did not tune in to do research all night. Well, that's a little huffy. By the way, Dave, subject line, an animal the right wing will always defend. This is good. Dave in the blind says, the southern spork-footed bat, the best identified member of this species, is serving in the Georgia delegation in the House of Representatives. That's right, misrepresenting Representative Marginal Trailer Queen. If you can keep her from wrestling around with certain representatives from Colorado in the ladies' room, that is, find your buddy, Dave in the Blind. The southern spork-footed bat. Rat. Rat. The southern spork-footed rat. Not from this planet, I'm a-telling ya. Elise says, "Who morning in America? Who wrote that for Nitwit Nero? You can't possibly have two definitions for the same sound." Yeah, I did see Anderson Cooper's gaslighting about silos, Flavio. By the way, a reminder, Tara Devlin of TerraBuster and I will be co-hosting the Mike Malloy program this evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on 6 p.m. Pacific on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. Feel free to jump right in and listen up, listen to the broadcast. That clip will probably be in there. And I read the transcript. Anderson Cooper lectured people who were upset about the shameful behavior of Chicken Noodle News in platforming that fascist madman. But the problem is he lied. There was no way to fact check Donald Trump in real time. There isn't. Yeah, there is. It's called putting a one-minute delay on him. And he didn't have to know. And then you just bang it, into the Chiron, and it crawls across the screen. But they couldn't be bothered to do that. Bernadette reminds us, there's nothing new with the guy who's got white nose syndrome. The Lincoln Project did Morning in America better 3 years ago. That's true. I had forgotten that. In fact, here it is. A scene of crumbling infrastructure. play.
There's mourning in America. Today, more than 60,000 Americans have died from a deadly virus Donald Trump ignored. With the economy in shambles, more than 26 million Americans are out of work. The worst economy in decades. Trump bailed out Wall Street, but not Main Street. This afternoon, millions of Americans will apply for unemployment. And with their savings run out, many are giving up hope. Millions worry that a loved one won't survive COVID-19. There's mourning in America. And under the leadership of Donald Trump, our country is weaker and sicker and poorer. And now, Americans are asking, if we have another 4 years like this, will there even be an America?
Paid for by the Lincoln Project, which is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Methinks it might be time for the Lincoln Project to reboot that ad. That said 60,000 dead Americans. There are a million plus now. Did that come up in the Trump platformed infomercial? No, it didn't. Randy Radar says, pollution, you can use the latest toothpaste and then rinse your mouth with liquid coal waste. Well, that's good. And, well, I remember when the Freedom disaster broke back in 2014 here. The next morning, they took it down, but the next morning, the Fockers, the West Virginia Coal Association, said of methyl cyclohexane methanol,
if it's good enough to clean coal, it's good enough to clean me.
Jesus, they're toxic. Oh, but since we were talking about Jerry Moran and Doc Marshall, let's check in on another ex-Kansas legislator. You know, at this point in time, you don't even have to say Republican. Because ex-Kansas legislator convicted of COVID relief fraud, sentenced to more than 2 years in U.S. prison, from the Associated Press. An attorney for former Republican State Representative Michael Capps argued for probation in court documents, citing Capps' Air Force service in a combat zone. Prosecutors, on the other hand, asked for a sentence of 4 years and 3 months in prison, making the claim in pleadings that he, quote, continues to show neither remorse nor contrition after stealing nearly $500,000 in money that was meant to help businesses remain going concerns during the pandemic. Now, the federal judge gave him 2 years and then 2 years of supervised release, told him to pay back the $500,000 in restitution and forfeit the illegal monies that he stole. Back in December, he was convicted on 4 counts of wire fraud, 4 counts of money laundering, 3 counts of making false statements on loan applications, and 1 count of bank fraud. The jury let him walk on 6 counts. 1 count was dismissed before trial. But he did go up on, let's see, 4, 11, 12. So he went up on 1/3 of the charges, and that got him two plus years of incarceration. He had been a member for 1 term in the Kansas House of Representatives between 2019 and 2020, and then he lost his primary race to another maggot. What he did, being a maggot, a Republican, he lied about the number of people he had working for him at a pair of businesses that he owned and a foundation relating to some sort of athletics. And then he put his front feet in the trough and asked for those PPP loans to pay people who he said worked for him, but didn't actually do so. Caps's pettifogger, a guy named Kirk Kearns, said,
he's a single father and disabled American veteran who has no criminal history.
So? Is the first one free? And Caps went on with the sound of a tinny and tinkling whorehouse piano behind him and said,
he served in Afghanistan and Pakistan for near 7 months back in 2001, 2002. And it was harsh and dangerous combat conditions. And then he come home and he got diagnosed with PTSD in 2018. PTSD makes you engage in risky behavior.
PTSD makes you engage in risky behavior. Sure, you know, like driving too fast or contemplating suicide. This is the first I've heard of PTSD causing you to rip off the government for $500,000. But he wasn't too PTSD'd out to create an entire host of fake employees and dummy up his payroll numbers and pull a con job on how much revenue he was bringing in. No word in the story as to whether or not he will appeal. But it's hard not to view this in the light of the opinion that Fappy Thomas signed off on, in which honest services fraud is, Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch said that honest services fraud is indefinable and at odds with the Constitution. Like I said, if it's a story about a perv or a thief or a con artist who used to be a politician, it's almost as red at this point that the guy was a Republican. Emilio says, it's been morning with a U in America ever since that sentient Nigerian email took his fearful tour down the escalator, the golden escalator.
It's definitely gold. That's how rich I am. I have a golden escalator.
And then there's a story having to do with Walker, Texas Strangler, Herschel Walker. There's a complaint before the Federal Election Commission. This story broke about a week ago. The complaint was filed by Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, CREW. And it appears to demonstrate that Walker, Texas Strangler, solicited a humongous donation from his for his disastrous Senate campaign. He solicited it from a billionaire in Montana by the name of Dennis Washington. and then told Washington's factor to send $530,000 of the total amount to the personal company run by Walker Texas Strangler, an outfit called HR Talent. Crew says that he solicited a contribution far in excess of the limits, the federal limits, and seeks to have sanctions imposed upon Hirsch. I'm wondering if maybe the, and this is just crazy talk on my part, I'm wondering if maybe a U.S. attorney somewhere might be interested in this. Because the Montana billionaire even said that, yes, a spokesperson for the Montana billionaire said, a certain portion of the political contributions the family made went to a non-political account. But once they found out, the Washingtons immediately requested and received a full refund of such funds. And then a story, and I mentioned this previously, a story out of Oregon. The state of Oregon is finding it difficult to pass its mandatory biennial budget because MAGAT members of the state Senate in Oregon continue to boycott the session in order to prevent a quorum from being had so that the majority can do things that the majority wants to do. The majority would like to pass some common sense gun reform. They'd also like to make sure to enshrine the right of people who can become pregnant to make their own decisions about said pregnancies. And yes, they want to affirm the right of Oregonians to receive gender-affirming care and to have insurance coverage for it. As I noted talking about the story previously, Oregon voters went to the polls last November and approved a constitutional amendment that said if lawmakers, because MAGATs had done this, pulled this stunt previously, if you refuse to show up and have 10 unexcused absences, then you can't run for office again. So this is the 12th day of May. The Oregon State Senate has been non-functional for 10 days. Every bill pending before the Senate is on hold, and both the House and the Senate in Oregon have to pass the biennial state budget by the end of June. It hasn't been touched. And the reason all this madness is taking place is because under Oregon law, the Senate has to have a two-thirds majority in attendance for a quorum. And apparently that is two-thirds of the entire body. And the majority is narrow enough that Republicans can grind everything to a halt by not showing up. Nine of the MAGATs, or rather MAGATs, have 9 unexcused absences. They got one left. And maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe I am not understanding the full implications of it, but the president of the Oregon Senate is a fellow by the name of Rob Wagner. Has extended an olive branch to the maggots. No, really, he's decided to sing them a rousing chorus of Kumbaya in hopes that they will come to their senses and recognize the fact that they're in the minority and, you know, elections have consequences, but no. Senate President Rob Wagner has suspended Senate sessions that were scheduled today, tomorrow, and Sunday. The Oregon Senate will reconvene on Monday. Senate President Wagner said, I hope this agreement to pause Senate floor sessions will create room for progress. This reminds me of the old meme that Bart Kopp would put on his page from time to time that showed a picture of a snarling, rabid dog with its fangs bared and asked, how do you negotiate with a rabid dog? Oregon maggots have played this game before. They did it over a bill dealing with climate change and stopped it by organizing a gang of terrorist truckers who surrounded the Capitol and blew their horns because the truckers had been told that a climate change bill would take all their jobs. Sure. But they think, the maggots in the Oregon Senate, that they have found a loophole. Because back in 1979, a law was passed in Oregon that said bill summaries in the Oregon legislature have to be written at an eighth grade level. This is minority rule. It's also a confession by the Republicans that they cannot read at an eighth grade level, but this is ideology over any sense of self-respect. Now, on the other hand, the Senate Minority Leader, Tim Knopp, says that, well, that's the nature of our objection, but the majority who were put here by voters in Oregon to do their bidding, they have to set aside their most extreme bills. That means giving up on trying to protect people who go to the grocery store, the movie theater, school, from being slaughtered by another Oregonian with an assault rifle. Or their bill to make sure that people who can become pregnant can choose whether to carry that pregnancy to term. The other extreme bill that they want to see go away is legal safeguards for trans people, expanded access to gender-affirming care, and mandatory insurance coverage for the aforementioned care. Rob Wagner gaveled the May 5th floor session closed because there was no quorum. At the time, he said, it is abundantly clear that there is a concerted effort to undermine the will of the people and bring the legislature to a halt in violation of the Constitution of the state of Oregon. It's also clear that this is an effort to stop this chamber from holding a debate on House Bill 2002. Relating to health, declaring an emergency, modifies provisions relating to reproductive health rights. This is the overview and summary that they say is not written at an eighth grade level. Relating to health, declaring an emergency, modifies provisions relating to reproductive health rights. That apparently is not readable. Here's the summary. This is their objection. This is not eighth grade enough for them. Maybe if we add some like you knows and some OMGs and some emojis, modifies provisions relating to reproductive health rights, modifies provisions relating to access to reproductive health care and gender-affirming treatment, modifies provisions relating to protections for providers of and individuals receiving reproductive and gender-affirming health care services. Well, I'm all edumacated and stuff, and so far I'm not having a problem. Creates crime of interfering with a health care facility. Punishes by maximum of 364 days imprisonment, $6,250 fine, or both. Creates right of action for person or health care provider aggrieved. Oh, I think we're going to have to, Oregon Democrats, we're going to have to change that to pissed off. By interference, we'll change that to fucking with. A healthcare facility makes statutory change to achieve gender-neutral language with respect to unlawful employment discrimination because of sex. No eighth grader could. You know what? And eighth graders could understand. Ask the trans kid. The trans kid will tell you what that means. Declares public policy regarding interstate actions arising out of reproductive health care and gender-affirming treatment. In other words, Oregon would finally become a refuge state. Prohibits public body from participating in interstate investigation or proceeding involving reproductive health care and gender-affirming treatment. Yeah, this is just way too complicated for a maggot to read. Jesus Christ, they'd probably cut their gums with their toenail clippings that they're picking their teeth with.
What?
They might choke. Creates exceptions, prohibits clerk of court from issuing subpoena if foreign subpoena relates to reproductive health care or gender-affirming treatment. Declares that Oregon law governs certain actions arising out of reproductive health care or gender-affirming treatment provided or received in this state. Repeals criminal provisions relating to concealing birth. Appropriates monies from general fund to Higher Education Coordinating Commission for allocation to Office of Rural Health for purposes of providing grants through Rural Qualified Health Center Pilot Project. Appropriates monies from general fund to Oregon Health Authority for specified expenses. Declares emergency effective on passage. And that is, it is not the language. It is the content, the effect of that bill. Minority leader, Knopp, said,
I hope the cancellation of this weekend's sessions will give us time to work out a legitimate agreement that will benefit all Oregonians.
Senate President Wagner, on the other hand, is sticking to his guns. And he said that HB 2003 is non-negotiable. I hope he means it. And then when those senators reach their 10th day of unexcused absence, we'll find out if the Oregon constitutional amendment is in fact constitutional. The bill says, or the constitutional amendment said, that if a candidate is disqualified for unexcused absences, That candidate may run for office in the next primary and general elections and win, but cannot hold office. A spokesperson for the Oregon Secretary of State's office said a legislator who violated Measure 113 would not be allowed to file to run for office at the next election. While this may differ from the explanatory statement written for an eighth grader, the courts have interpreted the election statutes to state that a filing officer can't allow a candidate on the ballot if it knows the candidate won't qualify for office. So the aggrieved maggots will sue once they've been disqualified. And then we just hope that it doesn't find its way all the way to our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties on the court and be stricken. This is so frustrating, though. Maggots have thrown people out of maggot legislatures for far less. The Tennessee Three showed up to work. Zoe Zephyr showed up to work, but they dared speak out against the bloodthirsty machinations of the majority. And this is something up with which the maggots would not put, but somehow or another, if the majority is Democratic, well, we'll just pause the session and see if the offending maggots will sober up and come to their senses and debate the bill and take their losses. Good God. And, well, here we are, end of the second hour of the program. If y'all would connect, please, I would appreciate that. And one little update. I mentioned yesterday a unanimous decision of the third of our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. Well, they participated. Seven justices joined the majority opinion flat out. Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote it. Elena Kagan signed off on it. Sonia Sotomayor signed off on it. Old Balls and Strikes signed off on it, as did Ann's Boy Neil and Brat and The Handmaid. Sammy Bad Breath and Fappy, well, they joined in a concurring opinion. This was the case about the Guatemalan woman and whether or not she should have another chance to prove her right to asylum in the United States of America. It turns out that this is a historic decision. Because in the majority opinion, I meant the top of the second hour. No, it's the end of the first hour. Ralphs, thank you. At least somebody's paying attention, even if the hostess isn't. No, we are into the second hour of the program. But here's what's historic about the decision. The woman seeking asylum, a Guatemalan woman, was raped in her hometown and later raped again in Mexico, and is begging and pleading for her very life in terms of trying to seek asylum in the United States. She's trans. And what is historical about this decision is that you would expect it to be the case with Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson, but also signing off on it again, Anne's Boy Neil, Old Balls and Strikes, Brat, and The Handmaid. And within the body of that decision, they used her correct pronouns. I can't tell you how many times I've seen, what's the difference with, who gives a shit about pronouns? Well, you only say that if it's never been a matter of life and death. But everyone who signed off on that decision signed off on the concept of using appropriate gendered pronouns to describe a trans person. And here's where it gets even wilder. Even Fappy and Sammy Bad Breath used her correct pronouns. Maybe it was because she was a rape victim, a multiple rape victim. I don't know. But they also, and in neither the concurrence nor the majority opinion, used terms like illegal alien, which is demeaning, dehumanizing, and disgusting. Little things matter. And that's a big deal. And I'm sure it's causing massive amounts of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth over in East Maggot Vale, East Maggotvania. But it's a little teeny tiny itsy bitsy ray of hope. Just a little bit. So, take the little victories where we find them. Now let's go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves and see what's up with the front porch gang. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, hello. How are you doing?
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, just there. Okay, now you're through the board. I think I didn't have the plug all the way in.
Everything right now?
Yeah, everything's good now.
Yeah, you even sound better.
Yeah, you were on the iPad microphone for a second there.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have to replace this cord sooner or later. There's a short in it somewhere. So.
Well, it's 90 degrees.
Oh, nice.
93 degrees today.
I would not.
Last night, I
wouldn't object.
And last night, I had a scare.
What?
I'm just sitting here minding my own business, and all of a sudden, the phone makes this weird sound, and an alert flashes on the phone, says earthquake warning.
Holy shit.
Tells you what to do. And I'm going, okay, I'm as prepared as I'm going to be if there's going to be an earthquake. Never felt a thing. Then I come to find out it's up in the mountains near Lake Amanor. Nobody in Red Bluff felt it, but they felt it down in Chico and down further south. It was a 5.5.
Any reports of damage?
Oh, I just saw pictures of, you know, grocery store stuff knocked off the shelf. That's about it.
Well, thank heaven. So, nothing about aftershocks or anything like that?
Oh, we got another warning a few hours later for an aftershock. No, it was not a few hours early. It was at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Did the phone go batshit again? See what I did there, batshit? Nah, beginning of the program, hmm?
Yeah, I see what you did. But I never had that warning before. The phones never did that before. So it was just, I just jumped. I was sitting here in the chair and doing a chat with somebody, and all of a sudden the phone makes a sound and that boom, nothing thing comes up on the screen. The alert gets your attention, I'll tell you that much.
I can imagine. Yeah, that would creep me out. But then again, somewhere in California, there's an earthquake warning about every day, isn't there?
I wouldn't know. That's the first time up here. And I've had the phone. My wife's had the phone for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Most of them happen on the coast or down Southern California. Once in a great while, we'll get one around here.
Wow. How are the tomatoes doing? That's what I really want to know.
Oh, they're starting to get up there. I can post a picture here if you want to see my plants.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. And I got 2 zucchinis and I got a squash, yellow squash plant the other day when I went to Home Depot to get some grass seed.
What kind of grass did you plant?
Oh, it's just some grass seed I bought. It was the cheapest one. I want to see if it was going to work.
Some sort of fescue or something?
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, Roger pointing out 5 is noticeable, but the damage starts at 6.5.
I think it cracks walls and stuff. Like, there's a lot of cracks in this old house, or I don't know if that's just from the house shifting or what. Because the house is on pier blocks. And then you have, like, cinder blocks for a footing foundation. Yeah, I posted the picture.
Oh, I see him. Yeah, I see your zucchinis.
The squash is in the middle. I just got that plant the other day.
Yeah, I can tell because it's behind a little bit. Smaller.
Well, we need some hot weather and some plenty of sunshine, and those tomatoes will take.
Well, 93 degrees will work nicely.
Yes, it will.
Because it's not just sunshine; it's the soil temp too.
keep them watered. I just watered them not too long before I took that picture, I think. Or I did repairs on the watering about around the plant that I make.
Oh,
I fill up that ring with water.
Yeah, I can see the watered area.
And the rest of that is ground up leaves from the yard, just to try and keep down the weeds. Plus, it'll work to enrich the soil next season when I till it again. I put those boards down there to make a walkway.
Yeah, so you don't...
Back when my dad was still alive, he used that as a ramp for his little mobility chair, because his job was to keep everything watered. I planted everything, but he'd keep it watered, watch it grow.
Sweet memory.
Sparky, are those are all tomato plants, or do you have any cannabis growing?
No, why would I grow cannabis?
Well, you can just buy that at the weed store.
You just call the guy, right?
I just called the guy. I just got a delivery the other day.
Yeah, there's no need for you to take up garden space, I guess.
Yeah. Got some biscuits and gravy, bubblegum kush.
You're not supposed to grow outdoors anyway.
Oh, really? That's a bunch of shit.
Unless you have a license and all that shit.
So what are they going to do, prosecute Mother Nature?
I would guess, actually, Christopher. I would guess that what they want is to reduce the likelihood of unintended cross pollination.
Oh, spread by birds and what have you, right?
Right.
Critters. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
The government doesn't give a shit about that. That's just the other growers.
Right, but they exert pressure on government.
In Oregon, everybody can grow four outdoors on your apartment balcony, on your patio, in dirt, doesn't matter.
If they don't have to be in pots, they can be in the actual earth?
Oh, yeah. The oldest boy always puts four in his raised beds out in his garden. And cross-pollination is not a problem unless you get in, cross-pollination will cause seeds in the buds and reduce the THC content somewhat. But nobody grows from seed anymore in a commercial thing. It's all done from clones. And the people that have been doing clones and do selective breeding and all that are very well isolated because they're wanting to control anything and everything, but the state regulations don't give a shit about the cross-pollination. Now, some of the farmers do because people have been growing hemp and it gives them seedy product. And apparently, according to the youngest boy, if you take in your buds and there's any seeds in them, the connoisseurs who are purchasing the product don't like seeds. I don't know. We had kind of enjoyed the little holes in our shirts back in the 60s.
Oh, my God. Holes in shirt. Bang!
Hey, Robin, as a fellow brewmeister, it sounds a lot similar to us and how we have to have all, everything temperature controlled, you know, the mashing temperature. The sparging water has to be a certain temp at a certain rate of speed that you're sparging, right? If you want to duplicate a beer, all of those have to be constant, right?
Absolutely.
You don't want variations in any of those. That's why you take meticulous notes and blah, blah, blah.
And you get real fussy about your grain itself.
Sure.
Two-row, four-row barley.
And your yeast. All has to be the same.
I always think back to that first batch of mead I made that was so good. And that was far enough in advance of the return of mead that there were no mead yeasts to be had, you know, specialized for mead making. So I used.
Did you have to create a starter?
No, I rehydrated champagne yeast.
There you go.
Because, and it was for, you know, making like brut champagne, and so I got a very dry. I wound up with a very dry mead, and I secondarily fermented it with lemon peel and ginger.
Oh, it sounds so good.
And then when I bottled it, I did a carbonation pitch, you know, with just corn sugar solution.
Mm-hmm.
And it had just the prettiest, sparkling, teeny tiny microscopic bubble head. It's crystal. And that stuff was 15% alcohol. It kicked.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could dig out my recipe for my jasmine rice. It was, that super red, pinkish rice.
Mm-hmm.
And we made that, and with some rice hulls with it, and then that rice. And it came out tasting a lot like Red Stripe, which I think is a rice beer. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it is.
Yeah, Red Stripe's kind of sweet.
Like Budweiser is, right?
Yeah, Budweiser's rice beer.
Yeah, and the taste was nice. Don't get me wrong; it was very nice, but the color was spectacular.
Oh, I'll bet.
You couldn't even imagine how beautiful that beer was.
You know what you might want to assay at some point. Might want to assay sake making.
You know what? My aunt bought me a book, and I never went to get the equipment or anything like that, but it's, like, on my list of things to set up.
It's just brewing.
I could use the same brew equipment?
I would think, yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to – the sugars might develop differently, but it was pre-pandemic now, which means years ago. But I remember – maybe it was Ralph's who found the link to this sake shop in San Francisco. And, you know, they're very meticulous about telling you, we want you to know some of these sakes can explode in shipping because some of them are carbonated.
Yeah, we've talked about that, right?
Yeah, and, I had an entire case of mead explode one year.
Oh, motherfucker.
And actually a batch. It was like four cases. I went down in the basement and just bang, 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 bang.
I spent an entire Labor Day weekend pulling little tiny, tiny shards of glass out of my office, bit by bit with tweezers. It was crazy.
Oh, it can get explosive. It really can. But, what I was going to say is this little sake shop, I remember getting a carbonated yuzu sake.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
Because, you know, it's not a lemon. It's not a lime. It's a native Japanese citrus. And it was spectacular. Wow. And there was another one that was aged in cedar barrels.
Oh.
that was just fantastic. And I don't even know if they're still open, but if you... maybe we'll just take a look here and find out. Because, you know, internet.
Well, I go down to San Francisco semi-frequently. Aunt and uncle's down there.
Well, let's see if they made it through the pandemic, because... True Saki is the name of it. True Saki.
Is it an address?
Hang on, let's see. They're still open. 556 Hayes Street, San Francisco.
Oh, I know where Hayes is. I know I've been around there. Okay.
And these are all classic, made in Japan sakis. And you get them, most of them, I'd say the majority of them, you serve ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's so good. To pair it with, like, you know, if you're having sushi or something like that, heavenly. And it's a neat little website, because you can educate yourself about, it gets, I'd say the one thing different between, like, making beer from scratch and making sake is in the milling. Because the more of the rice grain that is milled away, the higher the quality of sake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you want to mill it really fine.
Well, it depends. It depends on what you're going for.
Oh, okay.
And you can go broke in this little store.
Now imagine.
But it's just at True.
That shit can rack up fast.
Yeah, truesaki.com.
Okay. They probably ship. Because I don't know if I'd want to go down there, go to that shop, buy a bunch of shit, and then haul it on the plane.
Okay, here's a bottle of Miyusake Tenmi Junmai Daiginjo Taste of Heaven, $127 a bottle.
Ooh. And those are small bottles.
These are, they might be 750s.
Okay.
Masumi Nanago Jamahai Junmai Daiginjo Seventh Heaven, $130. You got to be into sake in a big way to, drop coin on that. But it doesn't have to be that way. But now there's a sake brewery in, I think, Berkeley, and that's the sake that you find in practically every Japanese restaurant in the country, Geikikan. And there's a dispenser for it that heats the sake. And what I was told is that the giveaway to bad sake is when they want to serve it to you hot.
Right. It's like what you always say about IPAs. You want to cover up a shitty beer, just add a whole bunch more hops to it and turn it into an IPA.
And, I mean, I always said that Geikikan tastes like toe jam tequila.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ew.
Without the swirly straw, even.
Yeah, right. But I think if you wander, Christopher, if you wander around that True Saki site, you'll enjoy the heck out of it.
Well, thanks for talking about the crazy shit going on in Oregon.
Well, I was going to ask you, and you or Roger, either one, is it in the news there? Is it roiling people and pissing them off? I saw that, like, Moms Demand Action was there chanting, do your damn job, show up for work. The party of personal responsibility won't show up for work. Gotta love that.
This isn't the first time. The last time, I think, they fled to Idaho.
Wish they would have stayed.
Well, there's talk of that, too. There's talk of some counties out east merging in with Idaho.
I don't think you can do that anymore. West Virginia was a one-off.
Right.
I think the U.S. Constitution actually forbids carving one state out of another. But when you consider Eastern Oregon, would you would would y'all really miss them much?
Not really, because we support them.
So, in other words, Idaho ain't going to want them either.
Well, there's a lot of weed stores right there along the border that would be very upset.
Oh, true. Oh,
good point there. Good point there, Roger. Now, the big deal now is we have a huge election on Tuesday. And it's huge because the water services in my neighborhood are, you know, there's the what do you call them, the commissioner, water commissioner. That's up. My sister's school district is up. And there's Children of the Corn, maggoty types running for those offices. And all around, actually all around the state. You got elections, Roger?
Yeah, it's mostly school board, a prison bond, and a parks bond that are on our ballot.
Okay. But the school board, I mean, here we are. This is the front line, right?
Oh, yeah. The school board election is clearly between the MAGA parents should have a choice and normal people that say we just want to make sure we keep our schools open and have a good education for the kids and compensate our teachers properly.
Yeah, you can't poison my kid's brain with facts and history and reality. How dare you?
Right. And of course, as ever, torment the little trans kids. Sure.
Well, there's that, of course. What was it? The story of Betty White got pulled off the shelf? Where was it?
It was a kid's picture book. That's Betty, the Betty White story.
Where was this? Was this Oklahoma or Florida?
No, I think it was Escambia County, Florida.
And of course. Unbelievable. Man, it's crazy.
And now, of course, Monkey Up is getting ready to sign a bill that allows doctors and nurses and whatever of conscience to discriminate in terms of who they are willing to treat, as long as it's only LGBTQ people.
Sort of along that vein, my MAGA Facebook friend has been
again.
Yeah, going absolutely apeshit, crazy, over this girl that got a double mastectomy and now regrets it.
Yeah, she's a grifter.
When she was like 16 or some bullshit like that. So I thought, well, shit, why not have a little fun? I know she's got a couple of boys. I said, well, if you're opposed to surgery of that type, how do you feel about circumcision?
Exactly. That's mutilation, right?
Genital mutilation. I mean, hell, a double mastectomy isn't even genital mutilation.
Right.
Oh.
And so anyhow, it drug a few maggots out of the wall. Her friends telling me that there's all kinds of good reasons to do it and blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Yeah. But that's what I was always told.
Oh,
Mommy,
bullshit.
Why'd you chop my little pee-pee up? And well, we were told that it's cleaner and you wouldn't get infected. That's what I was always told.
That's bullshit. But anyhow.
It is. Yeah, you know how you wind up with infections? It's from not teaching teaching the kid how to wash it.
Yeah.
And that truly does not come into effect until adolescence. As a little tiny kid, amazingly enough, your urine cleans it, cleans underneath. And that's why little boys that haven't been circumcised are even worse at hitting the toilet than little boys that have been circumcised.
Well, there's the real reason for it, Roger.
It's going to go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's the real reason for it. Yeah, Robin. Give yourself a cowbell for that.
Oh, well, thank you. It's still nowhere near Matt starting out the program with white nose syndrome and the long-eared bats. That was too good.
Anyhow, I posted a couple of pictures. Spring finally got here. And the bottom one, if you look closely inside the tomato cage, you can see a tomato that might be 3 inches tall. And then the top one is cabbage in the first bed with lettuce all the way around it. And the second bed is broccoli with lettuce around it. And then the far end is the garlic and shallots that were planted last fall.
Nice, Roger.
Well, last fall.
Yeah, we're getting about a five-day spring here in Oregon. Goes from winter, 5 days of spring, and then straight into, like, heat of summer.
Well, that's the—I mean, you're a Chicago guy, Christopher. That's like the old line about Chicago. There are two seasons in Chicago, dead of winter and 4th of July.
Yeah, or a construction season.
Oh, you mean when the orange barrels bloom all over the roads?
Yes.
Oh, we were talking about Idaho. Did you see this story about Lori Vallow Daybell?
Mm-mm.
She was found guilty by an Idaho jury today of conspiring to kill her husband's first wife and murdering her own daughter and son. 16-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua Jackson J.J. Vallow. 3 counts of conspiracy to commit murder in the deaths of the children and Tammy Daybell, the former wife of her, wait for it, fifth husband, Chad.
Please don't tell me that she was going to kill J.J. with dynamite.
Shut up.
It had to be said.
It probably did, but you're not getting a cowbell out of me for that.
What just the hell not. Was her problem?
Well, they thought she and her fifth husband, or Chad, were... And it's hard to even read this stuff, but this happens to people, and it seems to happen in places like Idaho. They were, and by the way, Chad will be tried later this year. They thought they were like demigods. They were part of a doomsday cult. And they thought that it was their task on Earth to get rid of all the zombie spirits, and that the two children had zombie spirits. And they were either millennialists or post-millennialists, you know, doomsday Christians. I know how they vote.
They probably have an incredible arsenal just laying around the house.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. And it's horrifying because little JJ was a special needs kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the cops showed up on a wellness check, they said, oh, he's with a family friend in Arizona. And the next day, then the cops didn't buy into it. And the next day, when they went there to serve a search warrant, they found out the couple had zoomed off to Hawaii to get married. And their footage was had of them laying poolside and soaking up rays.
Well, bully for them.
And we can't even pass red flag laws.
No.
You're right.
But what's distressing is I'm surprised they actually tried and convicted her of murder, because there are all kinds of exceptions for Looney Tunes religious types, not just in Idaho, but in Oregon. I remember the story of the Oregon couple that refused to provide the most basic medical care for a kid, and the kid died of, you know, an absolutely treatable illness. Heartbreaking stuff.
And they pled not guilty because Jeebus told them that it was, you know.
And eventually they dug up the property and found the two kids' bodies.
God.
It's horrifying. But again,
the old-timey religion.
But again, I know how they vote.
Oh yeah.
And the thing is, the mom is a former beauty queen. They thought they had to destroy the children's bodies so demons couldn't inhabit them. Lori Vallow believed she was an exalted goddess. They believed they could teleport. They believed they could launch natural disasters. They believed they were directed to lead 144,000 people in preparing for the end of the world. She's a former Mrs. Texas pageant contestant. In 2004, she won $17,500 on Wheel of Fortune, 2004. And at the Mrs. Texas beauty pageant, she said, "Being a good mom is very important to me, and being a good wife, being all those things together is not easy, and I'm basically a ticking time bomb."
Are they witnesses?
I don't know. I mean, the 144,000 number kind of tickled that little notion, yeah.
That's what I first thought. Who's in it?
That's a JW number, isn't it?
How do you mean?
That's the exact amount that's going into heaven. They're already there.
Yeah, the witnesses, yeah. Yeah, there's only going to be 144,000 people in heaven. It's already full up. And yet people keep signing on.
Well, I did ask some of the folks that wandered down my driveway one day down in California why they were proselytizing, because there's already more Jehovah's Witnesses than there's room in heaven. You can
already more
somebody,
dead Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, well, but see, the thing is, you can kick somebody out of heaven if you sign up enough new members to the church.
Really?
That's why
that's a shitty thing to do.
That's what I got told, that if I get more people to join the church, then I'll be able to get a place in heaven and get it from somebody who wasn't able to get that many people into the church.
I wonder who would get kicked out. Is St. Peter, is that his job to decide? Honest Abe, get your ass over here. Get down, you go get in on the elevator.
To the weeds. I just said I don't come around to your house. Stay the fuck away from mine. But that was what I got told, was that if you register enough new people into the church, they'll make room for you in heaven.
Sorry, George Washington, that we know you never told a lie, but you got to get on the elevator. Roger from Oregon's coming up.
Well, I doubt that's going to happen.
I didn't know George Washington was a Jehovah's Witness.
None of my friends are going to be there.
Isn't that what Donnie told us on his when he had his 4th of July thing? Remember?
Oh, yeah.
George Washington protected the airports.
Oh, yeah. And that was somewhere around the Battle of Bowling Green, wasn't it? I'm sorry, the Bowling Green Massacre.
Yeah.
But it reminds me, St. Peter was showing some newbies around the Paradise Realm one day, and he said, "Catholics are over there," and the newbies, "Hey." Catholics are like, "Hi," and the Methodists are over there, and the Methodists are like, "Hi." Newbies are like, "Hi," and they go through the laundry list. The Presbyterians, "Hi," and the Jehovah's Witnesses are over there, and the newbies get ready to wave, and St. Peter slaps their hands down and goes, "Shh, they think they're the only ones up here."
Well, don't forget, Donnie was also inspired by George Washington using the Air Force to defend us from the Russian war to create Space Force.
Oh, yeah. With the space lasers. From the Jews.
The Jews. Yeah, Brother Deacon, I mean, Brother Deacon Asa smiles every time I say that.
But the truth be told, these folks, the folks you just talked about, Robin, these are the people running for school board and
yes,
park district
yes,
commissioner
yes.
and water district commissioners and all of that. All your local, they're running. The children of the corn are running for these spots. So don't blow it off.
Don't blow it.
Yeah. Vote. Fucking vote every single election. Every single scrutinize the ballot. Don't just mark an X. Look these fuckers up. And I looked them up. I looked up the people in Clackamas County. And some of them were scary fuckers. They threw in their bio, you could see the buzzwords. Right? The right-wing little buzzwords.
And the problem is so many of these states now have nonpartisan school board elections and nonpartisan judicial elections.
Yeah, but as Chris says, if you read the bios, the dog whistles are loud and clear.
Yeah, doesn't take – it's not hard. It's not hard to pick them out.
Do you get to take your do you get to take the bios with you into the voting booth?
No, there
in
is no
Oregon,
voting booth.
We sit at home, spread out on the dining room.
Oh, that's
table,
true. That's true. I'm sorry.
Fill out the ballot at our leisure, put it in an envelope, go down in front of the local Safeway store, and drop it in a ballot collection box that's collected every night.
Yeah, but Roger,
I bring it to the post office just to be double sure. I bring it to the post office.
You mean Chris?
I actually do that.
Robin doesn't. We can sit on our couches and do and look up all the candidates and research on our computers. We're taking the person.
Yeah, isn't that just fun? Hey, we are finally coming up on the beginning of the end of the second hour, the beginning of the third. I haven't said much about fundraising so far, but Ralph's did get us down to 460 bucks to go. And I am still meeting the second extortion demand of Appalachian Power, or hope to, come the 16th. So there's 460 to go. I haven't made a lot of noise this evening because, you know, Wednesday was such a heroic effort on the part of the entire community. But if you want to help out and you didn't on Wednesday or haven't lately, it would be great if folks would jump in and help take that down some so that we're not looking at 760 on Monday. And Monday is, of course, the day before the next extortion demand comes due. And so
they're gonna make you march down to the power company and get on a treadmill.
Oh no, they're gonna put me on the Gilligan coconut bicycle, and it won't be bad for my figure. But God almighty,
I heard two things that didn't throw me for a loop, but they kind of set the tone where this country is going. Evidently, DeSantis signed a law this week that bans teachers from teaching about the Holocaust. That's the negative.
You knew that was coming.
Although I'm going to give it a positive, weirdly enough. Not on the Holocaust, of course. He signed the law saying they have to teach Asian Pacific history.
Oh, how about that? What? Really?
Yes. Yeah, they have to teach.
Do they have to teach about the internment camps?
Yes, that's why they're doing it, oddly enough.
Because of FDR, they want to demonize FDR? Is that the point?
Well, it's because of internment camps and the way the Japanese were here and there. But the other story was that the lieutenant governor of North Carolina gave a speech this week. And if you don't know, he's a black man. And he said that during the civil rights movement, many freedoms were lost.
Wait, what?
You heard me. He said during the civil rights movement, many freedoms were lost.
Hey there, Edith.
Mm-hmm. What, Edith, huh?
Yes. I'd read it a couple times myself. I just stood like, that's what I read.
And the maggots will eat that up, man. It's more maggoty, what do you call it? Manure. Just gobble that shit up. God.
And speaking, since we were talking earlier about I know how they vote. Well, naturally, this story comes from Florida. Because, of course, it does. 38-year-old Joshua David Lubitz of Sunrise, Florida, which is apparently north of Miami, was driving by the Sunrise Senior Center polling station last August, the primary, when some poll workers heard him counting election workers there.
One, two, three.
And then he said, should I kill them one by one or should I blow the place up?
Oh, my God.
Then they heard him say, my dad would love this. It would be easy. This would be nice and sweet. Well, he's going to, he's looking at up to 5 years in the pen, federally, for threatening their lives. And he pled guilty. Pled guilty on Wednesday, hoping that he might get something less than the five. He'll be scheduled on July 25th. Yeah, it's about 30 miles. Sunrise, Florida is about 30 miles north of Miami. As he drove away, he, as the AP report says, extended his arm toward two poll workers and made a threatening gesture toward them with his hand. I've been trying to, ever since I read the story, I've been trying to figure out what the threatening gesture would be. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, like, you know, with a finger and a pistol and bang, bang.
Oh. Now, would that be considered menacing? Because I think there's that's a pretty serious fucking charge here in it.
Threatening election workers is the way the AP story has it. Yeah.
So that's almost an aggravated charge.
But I know how he votes.
Oh, well,
The thing is, though, the Associated Press, that's that. I gave you just about the entire text of it. Yeah, tell me if there's a MAGA sticker on the back of the car. But then again, you don't really have to, do you?
Well, somewhat along the same line, should you?
Roger, you dropped out. What?
Absolutely.
Should have done it last night.
The bullshit that Donnie did on CNN. Should E. Jean Carroll file another claim?
Yeah, at this point in time, he's just self-suing.
Does she want to go through all this crazy shit again?
Well, there's not so much crazy shit to go through this time.
I would hope so, because she's already got him on one, and all he did was repeat what he's already been convicted of, and therefore present the evidence that, I mean, that this one wouldn't have anything to do with what actually happened. It's right. That he was found civilly liable for defamation over this issue and was found liable to $5 million. Mm-hmm. And yet the day after, he goes out and repeats the crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, nail his ass again.
Well, and the fact that he went on and on about so-called election fraud, there are concepts in the law that have to do with things that have already been competently proven. And, well, I don't know. He's not the president, despite what Caitlin Collins said. And Flavio and I have a bit of polite disagreement over that. He's not the president. He's just an ordinary citizen, and he can damned well be sued. And when you consider the discovery in the Dominion Voting Systems case against Fox, it all goes back to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So one wonders if maybe they might like to take a run at him.
Well, he just, I mean, that whole CNN town hall. I hate calling it town hall. It's more evidence for Jackson. Every other prosecutor that's still forming their case, Georgia, Washington, D.C., New York, and Jack Smith, is that his name?
Could not a case that CNN is also mentioned in the suit for aiding and abetting the defamation.
That would be interesting because that goes to the whole platforming deal.
Right, because someone who repeats a libel or republishes a libel or commits a libel on top of a slander is still potentially liable. Libel versus liable.
And I don't think it would be too difficult. I don't think it would be too difficult to prove that the CNN producers, executives who signed off on that knew goddamn good and well that Donnie was going to commit that defamation.
Everybody knew.
Crime again.
Everybody knew.
That's why they did it.
Chris Licht knew. And yes, to the extent, I don't think it's really like producers signing off. This came from the top.
Yeah. Get me my eyes on screen because CNN sucks ass. And I, you know, right?
Yeah.
There's an odd chance. This is way out. But there's an odd chance that Cliff Lick is playing 3D chess and we're not seeing it and trying to prove to the world what a fucking moron this guy is. I know that's not the reality, but that could be it way out of the way.
Well, yeah, there probably was some thinking along those lines, but then later on you get the confession from Anderson Cooper saying there's no way to fact check him in real time.
Not just that, he admonished the viewers. He said you can't judge him because he's the front runner in the Republican presidential run.
Yeah, regardless of how much you hate him, he's probably going to be the Republican nominee.
And he's probably going to be president again. Because he said 50%.
Oh, no, Christopher, stop that. That one poll came out, and then another poll came out behind it, after it, with a better sample base that showed nothing of the sort.
As far as the bullshit 50% number. I mean, I know that's bullshit, but
And Anderson Cooper, yeah, he said, you know, roughly 50, you know, that group represented 50% of the population. Bullshit it did. And at this point in time, he's going to do what he's going to do. But what kind of wears me out is the sort of bowel-watering fear that I have that all it'll matter is the ratings numbers, and the next thing you know, there'll be a PBS town hall with Nitwit Nero.
Oh, I can definitely see that happening. Oh, my God.
I mean, this is so Stockholm Syndrome, it's not even remotely funny.
No.
Oh, and thank you to Kevin in Massachusetts. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for jumping in. We are down. Hey, here's a number for you, since based on what we were talking about earlier, we're down to 420 to go.
Again?
Yeah, we're back down
that
to 420.
That number keeps popping up.
It's like a prophecy. And one of these days when I've got the disposable income to deal with, I can get my card. It's just monetarily difficult and time consuming because God forbid it shouldn't be in West Virginia. But lo and behold, I was driving along in Beckley a couple of days ago. I was like, son of a bitch, a dispensary. I'll be dipped.
Finally. Just a quick personal note to piggyback on Tracy with
yes,
Kimba. I had to say goodbye to Inga.
Oh, no.
The day after. Yeah.
Oh, Christopher, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And I know she had a really hard time.
Yeah, it was not pretty. She's in a better place. And it's amazing. I still keep looking for her. In the morning, I was about ready to make her breakfast. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a while before I can put this away. sucks.
Oh, there's going to be a hole in your heart for a while.
Yeah. Yep. Christopher?
Yes, Steve?
Same with me.
Oh, your kitty? You have a kitty cat, right?
Well, I had a kitty from, let's see here. She was from...
Hey, Steve, could you turn off your fan?
Oh, shit, fuck this.
Thank you.
Better?
Yeah, I no longer assume that you're standing in the wind at Coney Island. I know it's your fan.
Yeah, yeah. What a hot dog.
I had a kitty that I had adopted. I had rescued, and she, 2019, I had to put her down because she was very, very sick. And I'm going to advise you. I don't know if you're going to get. I don't know if you're going to have your cat, your animal, buried or cremated.
Cremated.
Do not look at the ashes.
Don't look. Don't open up the. Okay. Okay.
Do not look.
Why?
At the ashes.
Why? Why? You did.
I did.
Oh, and it so just brought everything back full circle, like it happened.
No, it just made me look at it and think, "Oh shit, that's all that's left."
But you've got all of your love and memories, and none of that will go away ever.
No, and I get that, but don't look at the ashes.
I won't.
I mean, I'm saying I did, and it was. I can see it in my head right now because I have my eyes closed, and it was not a pleasant experience.
Well, I was talking to Jude about it, and I'm like, well, the last thing I'm going to do is go out on a windy cliff, in the Big Lebowski.
I knew you were going there. I knew it.
She ain't seen it yet. We got to get on her like Scott.
Oh, we're going to have
it. I was getting on her like, God damn it, Jude.
We were all on the Lebowski The Lebowski bandwagon there.
You just quick John every Goodman time with that you face, correspond
with his face turned gray.
When you correspond to Jude or women standing from now on, make sure to put that at the bottom of your correspondence. Have you seen Big Lebowski yet? Mm-hmm. We have to keep continually badgering her until she does.
What was the name of your pet again?
Inga. From Sweden.
No, I've
got, not really from Sweden. From Chicago Inga, Heights.
Inga, who fought in Nam, who was at Da Nang, and I'm sorry. I'm not just
protected. Yeah, George DeSantos, whatever how many names he has. Yeah, she was his protectorate, and they actually overthrew the Nazis.
No, but you remember one of the things about Big Lebowski was that Walter talked about Donnie died too early, and just as people did in Vietnam. And
oh, yeah, right. He goes on the diatribe. Yeah.
Yep.
So, oh, I love it.
Yep.
Jude, I know you're listening. You have to watch that movie.
And by the way, I apologize. I came in really late tonight. I was out getting drunk with it. No, I'm kidding.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, there is. There actually is, but. Yeah, I came in late.
And so I talked to my uncle today.
I got to give shit to Jeremy.
Oh, here we go.
Jeremy! Jeremy just took us down to, oh, Jesus, $413.34.
You said it was 420 even. That's not my fault.
666, Jeremy. No, you did that on purpose. Don't give me that it's not my fault bullshit.
You said it was 420 even. It's still an even number. It's not that hard to figure out.
God, it's really going to piss off the evangelicals.
I know. I was going through a drive-thru the other day, and the girl on the speaker said, and that'll be $7.66. Really?
Do we have any NBA fans in the house I think I'm one of the only, like, big NBA fans.
Some, but not
in,
a lot.
In the
I
family.
Mean, as far as I'm concerned. I like
big game
I like,
tonight.
I like
big,
college
big
ball.
Big game tonight.
Oh, what?
Lakers. Yeah, Steph and LeBron. Yeah, big, big game.
That'll be a showdown.
The series has been fantastic, just amazing. Ebbs and flows, ups and downs for both teams. It's been really good. It's been one of the all-timers.
Well, if the Warriors manage to pull it out, that's gonna be a statement win.
Well, it's gonna be payback.
Yeah.
Because do you recall what LeBron did to Steph? 2016, I think it was. Finals. The Warriors up 3-1. And LeBron took the title back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And now Steph, they're trying to pay it back. So it's cool. A lot of storylines, a lot of fantastic series. Anyway, I'll get off my NBA.
What did I say? 4-13-30-64? Yeah. No, 34. 4-13-34. Eh. Can somebody help, please? The ciphering hurts us.
Plug it into the AI chatbot. It'll help you out, Robin. I promise.
I refuse to use that thing.
Steve, are you using it for your practice?
No.
No. Well, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, if you want to actually follow an actual sport.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, God.
If it ain't got a puck, it ain't a fucking sport. Here we go.
No, I didn't say that. I've never said that.
I know you have never said that. You said things close to it. But
curling.
Not exactly
curling.
That.
Curling's
oh,
not
yeah,
a sport.
Curling. Curling's not a sport. Curling's not a sport?
Not at all.
No.
NBA
is a Canadian fashion wear showcase?
No,
is that what it is?
NBA is not a sport. There's a lot of things that aren't sport. There's only 1.5 sports in the world, so.
1.5?
Half.
What's the other half?
Oh God! You know, I really do. No, I really do need a Jean-Luc Picard costume, just so I'm sitting here in the Enterprise command chair, just with my little head, my little forehead, and my little. Not this shit again.
By the way, Robin, have you watched Picard?
I have not.
Oh, yeah.
Paramount is so. I kind of hate this word, but it's so appropriate. Paramount is so wonky on my iPad. It just works about half the time.
Wonky's a good word, Robin. It's one of the best words.
Hey, Christopher, did you watch Picard?
No, I am not. No, I have not succumbed to the Paramount Plus. And like I said, I am waiting
until
the
finals
are over.
I have to ask, what is Paramount Plus? I don't have any idea what that is.
It's a streaming platform.
Isn't that where you have to get Picard? How much to put? What do you pay for? Oh, you have a VPN. You go through Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I got to get on that whole thing. I'm focused on basketball until the finals are over. Then I'll deal with all the streaming, all that stuff. I'll work out the spreadsheet and figure out what I want to keep, what I want to cut, yada, yada, yada. How to do the VPN like you and Sparky do.
Yeah, ExpressVPN is the easiest VPN I've ever run across.
I was going to say, Robin, I was just going to say that, ExpressVPN, which as much as I've really grown to not like Sam Cedar's program, I learned about ExpressVPN there.
Ads.
They are a sponsor, aren't they?
Oh, by the way, Christopher, Tamara down in San Diego wants you to know that there are NBA fans in the Horn Family Community Congregation, and she says, I like the chit-chat.
Oh, good. And I'm assuming she's a Lakers fan, but that is an assumption. San Diego at one point was Clipper country way back in the day. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Maybe she's a Clippers fan.
Okay, I got to stop everything for just a second because Billable Rick just gave me a break. Put me down for 23:34. So now we are down to $390 and 0 cents. Please.
The Jeremy antidote. Yeah.
Palate
cleanser. Nicely done, Bill.
That was that wasn't an amuse bouche or a palate cleanser. That was a siphon cleanser. Thank you.
You know that's fixable too.
Yeah. Here comes Jeremy again.
Oh, Jesus, Jeremy.
He's going to do it again.
Bitch.
So, okay. Hey, Steve. All right. You open the door. Give us a quick synopsis of NHL action. Who's good? Who sucks? What's going on? Who's left? I have no fucking idea. So, go.
Funny you ask. Any of the good teams are gone.
So it's been upset central. This.
It's been exactly like March Madness was with basketball.
Okay.
The defending champ is out. The team that won the two championships before that is out. Best team in the regular season lost.
President's Trophy.
In the first round.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I don't really follow it. If my team doesn't win, I don't really follow the specifics. I just watch a game now and again.
Is your team the Ottawa Senators?
What the fuck is wrong with you? Do you not listen?
Who is it? Well, is it a New York team then?
No.
He's a fan of Les Arbes.
Who? Oh, the Sabres.
No.
Really?
Les Arbes. Les Habitants.
Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, Winnipeg.
Uh-huh.
That's where my grandma was born. How about that? Well, wait, but they moved. Wait, no, they're back. Wait, what happened to the Jets? Didn't they move to Dallas, became the Stars, and then they resurrected them back in Winnipeg again? Is that how that went? Am I wrong, Steve?
I have no idea. I just like the Jets.
Okay. Because you're an Elton John fan. Now it makes sense.
Okay, sure.
Winnie and the Jets? Really? Winnie and the Jets?
Or Paul McCartney. Yeah, sure.
Wait. Tough crowd.
Winnie and the Jets. All right, cowbell. You get
Thank
cowbell.
You.
Not too vigorous.
No, I'm
somewhat bigger.
It has everything to do with the fact that I'm a fan of King Charles III. So I don't know. I'm just.
What?
I'm just giving you shit. I'm just giving shit.
Jets? What are the Jets? Okay. So you have no love for the Columbus? What are they?
Blue Jackets.
Well, they suck balls. So. But let me explain. When I was a kid living in Dayton, we used to get MSG Network on our cable. So I grew up watching the Rangers. And for a number of years, I was into the Rangers. And then I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I hate all professional sports. And I stopped following all pro sports. Because I got really sick of hearing millionaires bitch and piss and moan about, oh, gee, we're not being treated very well. And that's fine.
Or bickering with billionaires and billionaires right. Bitching about how much they got to pay the millionaires.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is even worse.
Right. So, I remembered when I was a kid how bad the Jets were. They were among the worst teams in NHL history. The first Jets, and then I basically fell in love with the Jets afterwards. And I was like, I like the fact that you have a team that wasn't ever worth a shit, who's actually really good, and I just fell in love with them.
So aren't they? So they're not. They're out now.
They made the
playoffs, right?
They were out in the first round. They got who beat them.
And they had a nice season, right?
They had a decent season, certainly the first 50 to 60%, and then they just kind of tanked in the last part of the season, and kind of limped into the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I'm the same way. If the Blackhawks suck, I don't watch hockey. We had our dynasty, and it was fantastic, and I enjoyed being a part of it. And I saw all the parades, and you know, it was a great time to watch hockey because it was exciting. And then as that team started falling apart, and the two Hall of Famers are getting old. Hey, Kane went to the Rangers, right? Patrick Kane?
I don't have a fucking clue.
Oh, well, you know who Patrick Kane is.
Nope.
Oh, come on. What kind of fan are you?
I'm a fan of the sport.
He's like one of the greatest players ever. You know that, right?
Never even – who, Patrick Kane?
Yes.
Honestly, never heard of him.
Oh, God.
Not a real fan.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm a fan of the sport.
All that on you.
Not of any person. I was there the night that Gretzky tied the record for 76 goals in a season. He was playing Boston. I was there that night.
That's cool.
No boom, so, boom, no. Jeffrey in, though.
What?
Nothing.
Robin, you know I love you more than my luggage.
Just not right now.
Not right now.
So tell it, can you give us
Hold on. Robin, what did you think of the shit that I sent you about my church?
Oh, I think that's really neat. And I'm just kind of proud that I got there first. Because when I was calling down hell and damnation on the West Virginia legislature, I said, stop spitting on Jesus and their teachings.
Did I tell you what my friend – I have a friend slash acquaintance who is actually a theologian, like PhD, doctor, theologian, the whole thing. I don't know where he got his PhD from. But he and I have had a number of conversations about it's funny because actual church teaching often is quite different than what people think it is. And I basically said to him, I said, so what about – I mean wasn't – I said – and I think I said this to you. There was a time when people would have said – wait a minute, you've just depicted Jesus as black. That we can't have that. You know, Megyn Kelly told us that he was white.
And Megan would know. Megan Magdalene?
And I talked to my – and I actually messaged my friend about it, and he said, actually, it's more than that. It's – and here's how he says it, and this must be like the way that – theologians talk about it. His the way he rephrased it was, the God of Revelation identifies with the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, yada yada yada. And at the end of his what he wrote, God is trans.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And well, Robin, you know as well as I do.
Steve, I've been preaching that for ages, and so has Miss Terry. You know, in Matthew 25, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers.
You've done it unto me.
Right. So.
Every time you spit in the face of somebody who's shit on, that society shits on, you're shitting and spitting on Jesus.
Jesus. Yes. And that's exactly the point I made addressing the legislature.
I mean, is that not. Seems pretty basic
to
me.
He didn't stutter.
Nope, he didn't stutter.
They didn't stutter.
Right.
They.
There's no ambiguity here.
Okay, sorry it's not Wednesday, but the fact of the matter is, and this is actually dogma and doctrine. If one buys into the concept of the Holy Trinity, the concept that 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, I know, even I, who ciphers poorly, understands that that's goofy.
But if that word "if" is doing a lot of work there, Robin.
Carrying a lot of freight, Christopher. really chugging up that mountain. But if one accepts the Trinity conceptually as revealed truth, that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is represented, obviously, as masculine. The Son, also in, I presume, Aramaic, and certainly in Greek, and definitely in Latin, also masculine.
But the Spirit?
But the Holy Spirit is Hagia Sophia in Greek. And she is decidedly feminine.
And you know what? In Judaism, wisdom.
Feminine. And if they're all part of the same being, then they're non-binary. That's the soul of non-binary.
Yep. That's exactly what Jason told me. That's the guy who I...
And in point of fact, the reason, and I trust that everyone knows that when I use these terms, I'm using them anthropologically. Part of the reason that the Mary cult arose, and part of the reason that the classical representations of her look like a human vagina, is a manifestation of the non-binary nature of the sacred. And the transitory, see, aspect of divinity. This is, you know, this is, you know, we talk about law school 1L, 2L. This is like 1T. You know, first day, first week, first semester. No, one, it's 1D. First day, first week, first semester of divinity.
And you know what, Robin? It's not that radical. It's not radical at all.
No.
It's like, again, like I said to Jason, and I don't want this to be Catholic hour on the program tonight, but God is everything and nothing all at the same time.
Yes.
Why is this so hard?
Well, that's kind of what matter is. Right? Light, is it matter? Is it photons? Is it energy? Right? It flips and flops.
You know, at the end of because Shakespeare wrote everything, okay? He did. We get the King James Bible because I think in large part because of the beauty of Elizabethan English, which is embodied by nothing more magnificent than Shakespeare.
So wait a minute. Shakespeare wrote the Constitution?
You're goddamn right he did.
Okay.
Shakespeare told every story. There's only really three or four stories in all of humanity. We'll go into that later. But at the end of The Tempest, Prospero says, "We are such things as dreams are made of." And when you got a really good Prospero, that will knock you back in your seat. Because Shakespeare talks a lot about dreams. I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space were it not that I had bad dreams. To be or not to be, there, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or... sorry, it's been a while. End them. And then there's the line about, but what dreams may come. Hamlet's saying, I don't want to be here. I'm done. It's all too much. And I would do myself in if I weren't scared to fucking death of the rotten dreams I'm going to have. Because he was already plagued by his dreams in life, by virtue of the loss of his father, Hamlet the First, whom we find out was murdered by Claudius, his uncle. Hamlet, you know, it's not Hamlet. The tragedy of Hamlet is not Hamlet's fault. If you, a close reading of Hamlet shows that Hamlet is being buffeted by forces that are well beyond his control. So, yeah, it's we know now from, you know, physics and whatnot that what we perceive as solid isn't. It's all mm-hmm. just it's all just various stages of vibrating matter, which itself is nothing but energy. And all of this goes back to ancient Hindu philosophy and the concept mm-hmm. of Maya and of illusion. There's a wonderful synthesis of ancient Asian mysticism with modern physics from a bunch of years back called the Dancing Wu Li Masters. And if you want your mind freaking taken apart, shredded, and put back together again, get that. Or there's another book from even earlier on that'll rot your mind called Gödel, Escher, Bach. And there is an essay within that book called Ant Fugue that I go back and read every now and then just to have my mind, well, what does Scott say? Regrooved. And by the way, I don't know if Scott's listening, but I wanted to know that we hope he feels better. I saw a post from him, and I didn't respond to the post itself. I said, I'm just glad to hear from you. I've been worried about you. And he said he just feels like crap. And he's trying to focus everything on feeling better.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're thinking about you, Scott.
Love and light out to Scott. Yeah, love and light out to Scott for sure.
Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, Scary Jerry said, go Heat, vamos gatos.
So, okay, good. He's a Heat fan. Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Jimmy Buckets, baby. Wow. He's amazing in the playoffs.
Hey, Robin, I don't know if this came up tonight, but I almost feel like as the lone supporter, I'm going to really take a lot of shit right now.
Oh, no.
Of Merrick Garland.
He does things.
He's trying to take the high road. So go for it, Steve. I want to hear it.
No, forget about high road. If you look at think of what he's doing as a brick path. He is, or a ladder. He is going brick by brick, rung by rung, and I'm telling you, and I think I emailed Robin about this. This seditious conspiracy conviction, that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was a real big deal.
He is going right up the ladder. And again, look, I understand people want it to happen faster. But the more I've watched this, and again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being Pollyanna. The more I've watched this, the more that what comes to my mind is this. Every day, every week, whatever, we hear, oh my God, DOJ should investigate this. And DOJ should...
I got a list.
Yeah, there is a list. And Robin, you have much more experience on this than I do. But something in the back of my mind has been telling me that this was intentional.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, look.
To flood the zone and to almost get to the point where there is so much shit.
Overwhelm the system. This is exactly what I was talking about last night in terms of Florida. There are so many odious bills coming out of that filthy legislature that the thinking is eventually eventually it will overwhelm the capacity of the objecting groups.
Absolutely.
To litigate. Or that one will slip through the cracks.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
Because we're talking primarily about two legal groups that are standing up against maybe three, feels like two, the ACLU and Lambda Legal. All right? They're the ones that are filing all the suits against all these odious bills, and they're not just dealing with one state. This is, you're exactly right, Steve. This is a flood the zone thing. And how they and how they have the capacity to do it, I do not know. I mean, there's
We don't have the resources that they do, and you're hitting the nail on the head.
And the lot, you know, people outfits. I mean, let's see, the Thomas Beckett Fund, the Alliance Defaming Freedom. There's all of these outfits. All they do is move the legislature and occasionally file suit over something they don't like, you know, a Christian bigot having to follow a law about not discriminating against people.
100%.
But the ACLU, you know, I remember the debate about terrorism after September the 11th. We have to win all the time. They only have to win once.
Well, the 1% doctrine, right? That's dick in a wig. Yeah.
Preach, Reverend Robin.
And you know, if I was a praying person, I would pray for the ACLU and Lambda Legal and any of these other outfits every night. As it is, I try to do what I can. I mean, this is too much about me. Oh, by the way, thank you, Jeremy. We were at 390.
4666.
No, we were at 390. Now we're down to 386.66.
You shouldn't be though. I only sent $10 total.
Yeah, but I got rid of your 66 cents.
Where's that repeating third of a penny?
It shouldn't affect the cents.
You're getting ripped off a third of a repeating penny. Yeah.
And since we're talking about Merrick and ripping people off, did anyone hear what he quietly did yesterday?
Which?
What he did to Russia.
No, what?
We seized that yacht back in January from one of the oligarchs. We sold the yacht. And
nice.
Merrick gave Russia a big fucking middle finger yesterday and sent Ukraine $200 million from the sale of that yacht.
Oh, beautiful. That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Suck it, Pooty.
Well,
and that's
Merrick. Basically, Pooty said, I'm going to take you to the blah, blah, blah and fight this. He said, bring it.
Bring it. Well, yeah. There's another thing that Merrick Garland has to be given some credit for, and that is one of the people that got convicted on the seditious conspiracy was not in D.C. at the time of the January 6th altercation.
Enrique Tarrio, right.
Enrique Tarrio.
Correct. So now that opens up clearly the ability that since Trump was over at the White House and not at the scene, that there is precedent for a person to be guilty of seditious conspiracy when they were not physically present at the site.
Lots of people, in fact, Roger. Lots of people.
Yep.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, Ted Cruz. Where was Cancun Cruz?
Yeah.
And where was Roger Stone?
He was up his
Stone?
Wife's ass. That's where he was.
And where was where was the hot dog water man? You know, bathing man.
Yeah.
Where was he?
But the larger point to make here is that the people you have to watch out for in scenarios like this are not the people who run out to a microphone and start grunting and braying about what they're going to do. You know, the Squidney Powells and the Alina Havana Havana Havanas, the council for the parking garage. The ones that you have to watch, the quiet ones are the ones that will fuck you. And Merrick Garland is mostly quiet. But what I was going to say earlier is Merrick Garland is not failing. You're not his lone supporter. I'm just intensely frustrated because I'm frustrated not so much with him, but with the system within which he works. And I know we've come to hate the word institutionalist almost as much as we hate the word centrist. But an institutionalist is what he is because it is the air he breathes and the water in which he swims. Okay? It's hard to be a land-based water breather. You know, short of the Ocelote, you know, in the Valley of Mexico or something. God, I'm a nerd. But he's being let down by the system as it was designed. Because
by the way, yeah, you really are a fucking nerd.
Thank you. Anyway, go ahead. cute one, too.
I wasn't going to say that, but I thought it.
Okay. Thinking is good. But the system that this is the thing that puts the lie to originalism and the idea that the Constitution must not change. And that is that the modern era precludes things working like they worked in 1787. That is to say, most of the presumptions that the framers were making about how this government would work were misguided at best and wrong at worst. And in fact,
tilted, right?
They knew. Male. I mean, sure, that Christopher. But what I'm more getting at is, and this is, you know, the education that I got from Dr. Bill, Federalist 10. And Madison navel-gazing for pages and pages and pages about faction and factionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he's arguing with himself. And he finally says, well, okay, factionalism will be okay as long as the factions are all acting in their common interests. And it's such a weak read. I think you can read Federalist 10 and realize that James Madison, and this is the era of Voltaire, okay? Mm-hmm. James Madison in Federalist 10 is channeling his inner Candide. Namely, well, this is the best of all possible worlds. And it ain't. So, for all the massive power of the federal government, they have to use a lot of that power marching uphill with one foot in a bucket. Because we want to have due process. We want to have equal protection. But we also have a court system that is, again, flooded the zone. It's overwhelmed. You know, 400, 600, what is it, of the people who have been convicted of various offenses relating to January 6th. And the highest level conviction is of a dickhead who shot his own eye out and is looking at 20 years. That's Stewie Rhodes. And the assholes from the Proud Boys looking at something similar. And if you want to use, for instance, drug trafficking, these are all dudes that are moving quarter pounds. These aren't the guys who are moving the bales, okay? They're still fairly small actors. But you're hamstrung insofar as you've got to develop that low-level crap before you can go after the big boys, because of that old, you know, there's that old saying, if you're going to shoot at the king, you better by God hit him.
Can't miss. I mean, how long did it take for John Gotti, for them to get John Gotti?
Right.
Or Al Capone, for that matter.
Yeah.
Decade, at least? Decade and a half? Right?
There, yeah.
So.
And yes. But the thing is.
Justice grinds slowly.
But exceedingly fine. The problem, though, Christopher, is that in this circumstance, it didn't matter if it took 10 years to get John Gotti. John Gotti was not the president of the United States or a member of the right. Senate or the House of Representatives or a governor.
His impact was relatively small. I agreed.
But these are people that have to be gotten within, well, again, the framers had, it never occurred to them that this would happen.
Donnie, no.
The debate over what impeachment meant was full of rose-colored glasses, you know, la vie en rose. Of, you know, well, if there's a corrupt president, the Congress certainly won't tolerate that. And it's like, oh, we forgot the whole factions business from Federalist 10, didn't we? And so impeachment is meaningless, at least in a post-Trump era. Impeachment still, yeah. Impeachment still had some starch, say, in 1975. When Richard Nixon was horrified.
Who can we thank for that, Robin? We could thank the Newt. It never got better than Gingrich for that. He turned the impeachment into a nothing burger now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if we're handing out blame tickets, good God, Gerald Ford or Ben Bradley and Katherine Graham. During the Reagan era, saying the American people cannot withstand another constitutional crisis.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, as I have argued, impeachment is not a constitutional crisis. Impeachment is the Constitution actually working in the fashion in which the framers designed it to work.
To avoid a constitutional crisis.
A constitutional crisis is what happens when the system doesn't work. When the House of Representatives cannot put partisanship aside enough to come up with a strong bipartisan bill of impeachment, and then when it goes to the Senate, and the Senate cannot put aside partisanship long enough to actually do something about a manifestly corrupt president, we're screwed.
That's where we live. We live here now.
That's where we live. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you so much. So we went from 393. We are down to 372. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. So at this point, we're looking at a Monday with 672 and Appalachian Power's next extortion demand the following day. We got a little bit of time if we want to get a little more miraculous. If we took it down $72, we'd be done with everything but today. So thank you. Thank you. I know it's been hard. I know it's been hard, and I just can't apologize enough. Maybe I should start playing the lottery again. No, I've got to pay Appalachian Power. It gets frustrating. It really does. But I think you opened a door of that was a good conversation to be had, Steve. If Merrick Garland, I'm waxing very poetic tonight. Andrew Marvell in To His Coy Mistress wrote, "Had we but world enough in time, this coyness lady would be no crime." And he's trying to seduce a woman. Then he goes on to say, but the grave's a fine and quiet place, but none, I think, do there embrace. Had we but world enough and time, we could solve all of these problems. Yes, you evened it out, Ralphs. Thank you so much. No more loose change. No more ciphering on the yeah.
Well, here goes Jeremy's going to fix that again.
Don't encourage him.
Do encourage him. You still have a hole. You don't need – it's not as deep.
There was a better way to say that,
we don't need Lassie yet. Huh?
There was a better way to say that.
okay. Hey.
Oh, I won't kid you.
It's a family show.
That good ship sailed and sunk.
I was just going to say, sorry, Christopher. I don't know what kind of family you're from, but yeah.
Well,
Jesus.
We won't open up that door at 4:50 on a Friday. We won't talk about that.
Oh, which reminds me, this is fun. I just saw this story. Leon Scum has picked himself out a new CEO of what's he renaming it? X? Used to be Twitter.
Is that the overall umbrella corporation for all his little shitty endeavors? Okay.
He's just jealous of Prince and doesn't have his own Egyptian hieroglyph.
Right.
So he's made it possible, and this is their next stupid rollout. Anybody on Twitter is going to be able to call anybody else on Twitter, whether they're following or not.
Ooh.
So that means Twitter is already a sewer for women.
Ugh.
It's going to become even more of a sewer. Because, well, do we remember Robin's creepy sugar daddy story time?
Yes. With the background music, of course.
Twitter is going to be nothing but that. It's absolutely gross. So you don't a study across 51 countries, according to TechRadar, says 38% of women have personally experienced online harassment, but only 1 in 4 women actually report it. And with Leon Scum's takeover, and that is such a Batman villain name, isn't it? With his takeover of Twitter, misogyny and other hatreds have gone through the roof, according to a report from the BBC. That it's going to function a little bit like WhatsApp, but they can make calls on Twitter to individual Twitter accounts, and it'll happen in your DMs. So it as TechRadar reports, it'll open the doors to nonstop harassment. And so, what they say is, few people feel the sting of online harassment as rapidly and as often as women on social media. Gamergate comes to mind. People will be able to call other users up directly and leave voice notes that are full of hate speech, insults, and threats. It's already very easy to tweet or send disturbing and harmful things to users on Twitter, and this will only make things worse. And it'll be hell on children, too. Kids on Twitter. This is so gross.
I hope the thing dies. I really do. I don't know if it's going to die, but
he brought over a woman, and then Jesus, honey, what were you thinking? She had been with with NBC Universal's marketing department for a decade or more, and she was her goal there was to find out a way to better discover exactly who was seeing and responding to ads. And she is in negotiations with Twitter to be the CEO, and Leon Scum will be the chief technical officer. For he is a computer genius. Wile E. Coyote. Oh. And, I hate to make it about that, but given what Leon Scum has made abundantly obvious to the entire world, namely that he hates trans women with a freaking passion, this feels like a program of targeted harassment, because it's almost intolerable as it is, and this is only going to take it to 11. Hey, Frank.
Does anyone know if he actually...
Thank you, Frank, in Minnesota. Frank just What did I say the number was? 382? Yeah. Frank just took us down to 357. Oh, a gun caliber. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so much. 357.
Does anyone know if he actually has an engineering degree of some sort?
I think.
Anyone know?
But he's never invented anything. He's never designed anything.
He's just taken other ideas and tried
to capitalize on it. Oh,
yeah.
I was wrong.
Which 347. I mean, that's a skill.
347.
That's a skill, but that's not technical. That's not a technical skill. That's more of a marketing, business savvy, right?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter was a sewer before he got hold of it, and he's such a genius that he's broken it into 1,000 tiny pieces in the name of free speech for Nazis and misogynists and transphobes and basically the right wing.
And he didn't build PayPal from the ground up.
No,
he turned it into something bigger than it originally was. He and his cohorts and venture capitalists, right?
Right.
He wasn't the only one.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And I was going to mention
when we were
talking a minute ago about, you know, people like the ACLU and Lambda Legal, you know, doing all this heavy lifting. Some of this touches me even more than one might expect. I was born in Alabama. There is a bill in the Alabama legislature that may very well make it out and be signed into law by Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw that will forbid the amendment of birth certificates. Forbid. Period.
Oh,
end of
wow.
sentence.
Oh, my God.
And not only that, it will retroactively change any birth certificates that have been changed for trans people.
That's you.
No, I haven't got. That's the thing. I haven't got. All this costs money. And there's never stuff for that kind of thing.
So
I'll reach out to the ACLU and say, you know, if you want a plaintiff, I'm your girl.
Nice.
But the retroactive part of it, trans people in Alabama who've already jumped through all the flaming barbed wire hoops, hi Scott, who have already gotten their birth certificate changed, who have already gotten their gender marker changed on their driver's license. Whom the state
has
of
Terry Alabama. Done that already?
Mm-hmm.
Terry?
Yes.
She okay.
And they would force her birth certificate to go back to the original gender assumed at birth and change her gender marker on her driver's license.
Oh, my God.
And every other trans person in Alabama.
Now, if that isn't a red light signaling Nazi post stop here, you know, signpost ahead,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a
hello. It's on the road to fascism.
It's a Burma-shaped sign on a swastika, or,
yeah.
Or more likely a pink triangle.
Yeah. Holy fuck.
And see, the funny thing about birth certificates is that it's one of those 50 petty kingdoms kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Is Alec behind this?
You can only, no. The Family Policy Research Council of Morality and you know, one of those 501c3 grifts.
Unbelievable.
Tax-exempt grift. And other, you know, other states are pursuing similar. And I expect by next year they will come for the F on the day I got my gender marker changed on my driver's license was the proudest F I ever made.
You get a cowbell for that. That's good.
Well, thank you. But I expect them to come for that. And this isn't poor, poor, pitiful me, except that it kind of is. I'm still dealing with these issues of how the hell do I continue to live here?
Yeah.
because they will be back next year with the bill to make it a felony for me to go grocery shopping.
And you're surrounded.
And they will be back with a, and having seen what other states are doing, they will be back with a bill to take away the F on my driver's license. And because our right-wing Supreme Court has already ruled from the bench that the Department, West Virginia Department of Health and Human Services, has no power to change a birth certificate. Mm. And it may seem like it's just cosmetic or esoteric. It isn't. I mean, I presume most of you have seen pictures of me on social media. Mm-hmm. Imagine me looking like that, handing a cop, a West Virginia cop, a driver's license with M on it.
Probably a death sentence.
Have they gone as far yet to threaten to take kids away in your presence? Like your grandkids if around you?
Not yet.
You're going to do that too, don't worry. That's going to come too.
Yeah, that'll be down the line.
That's why last night when I was talking to Gary out in New Mexico, I was asking him about the, not the meteorological climate, but the political climate out there, because right now it's terrifying, and I do not know how I'm going to fund my flight, and I don't mean a plane, I mean flee, as in for my life.
Bug out bag.
Can you imagine? Because I know people who have already done this. Can you imagine saying goodbye to your family and knowing when you do so, you will never see them again? Never.
God. No, it's not that far for me either. Governor Sununu just signed a bill that will stop gender ID protection.
Right. And of course, the primary bill in Oregon that the maggots are trying to lay out a work to stop. You know, I read the summary, and part of that is providing refuge and insurance coverage in relation to reproductive care and gender affirming care. And it's because, you know, Washington is, California is, but even California hasn't yet provided mandatory insurance coverage. That's Colorado and Hawaii and Washington. Mm. And frankly,
is that what we're trying to pass in Oregon that the maggots are trying to stopping?
Yes. Yes. Okay. That insurance companies have to cover gender-affirming care and surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Because Oregon Health Sciences University is huge, and they do tons of gender-affirming surgeries on consenting adults.
That's where my mom got her care for MSA. Yeah, it's a great hospital.
One of the surgeons I consulted with was trained at OHSU.
Mm-hmm.
But to make it, gender affirming surgeries like breast augmentation, facial feminization surgery, vaginoplasty, cleroplasty, labiaplasty in the case of trans feminine, medioidoplasty, phalloplasty, top surgery in the case of trans masculine people, and either any of those for non-binary individuals, depending on how they most want to present.
You know, I really think in a weird way, some of this comes from jealousy from females. I believe this sounds weird to say this, but there's a segment of females who hate trans women because a lot of trans women do better than your average woman does. Honestly, I can say that out loud and not feel ashamed in saying it. There are trans women that look better than some natural females do. No joke.
I don't know if I'll sign on to that, because most of this.
I'll easily sign on to it. I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah, most of. I mean, I'm not being mean. I just don't know. Most of this is being driven by religious maniacs, and religious maniacs are almost exclusively patriarchies. So, to the extent that such women exist, they are absolutely filled busting with internalized misogyny, and they are carrying water for a patriarchy that despises them as much as it despises people like me or the gay community.
Yeah, the handmaid. The handmaid.
Yeah. And that's what made that one case that I mentioned around the top of the hour in the first beginning of the second hour. That's what's so kind of surprising about that is that not only the three so-called liberal justices, but Old Balls and Strikes and the Handmaid and Brat and Ann's boy Neil all signed off on an opinion that used the correct pronouns for the asylum-seeking Guatemalan trans woman who had been multiply raped and was just desperate to try to get into the United States. If she gets to stay, I pray to God she gets the living hell out of Texas.
Is that a signal of some sort, Robin? Or do you think that maybe they got some learning from the other?
I don't know. I'm paranoid enough to think it's probably horse trading and that something horrible is coming. This is a trade off for keeping trans girls out of sports, you know, because those are going to land before the
maybe
courts.
Maybe Sotomayor is going to give him a little lesson, you know. I'm just guessing.
I don't think so. And what's weird though is that in the concurrence that was filed, agreeing with the outcome. Written by Sammy Bad Breath and signed off on by Fappy, they used her right pronouns too.
It's interesting.
And none of the right wing POSs referred to her as an illegal alien.
Well, and Matt Walsh is going to go off on that. You know he is.
Well, I hope he dies mad about it.
That's like a week's worth of show.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Jeremy was going to say something.
Yeah.
Is there an odd chance that these religious nuts that they are trying to do the right thing?
No.
And actually walk the line in one area of what religion would really tell them to do.
I am far more inclined to think there's been some horse trading going on. And, you know.
Well, I'm trying to stay positive because I have people bitch all the time. I can't say this to them, but I want to say it every single day. Are they passing laws against you nationwide? Are you being persecuted this morning? Are they coming for you yet? What are you bitching about?
Right.
Exactly. None of these right wingers have shown any belief in Matthew 25. None.
No.
Whatsoever.
No.
Ever.
That's because they only thump it. They never read it.
Yeah.
You know, most of what they quote is from the fucking Bronze Age, and it's in Genesis. By the way, Micah pointed out. Leon Scum is just a shittier Steve Jobs. Ooh, okay, I get that. You know, Steve Jobs never built a computer either.
That's a cowbell.
Yeah.
No, he made Woz do all of it.
Yeah, Wozniak did it all.
Hi, everyone.
Who jumped in?
That would be the Micah.
Micah? Girlfriend.
Hi. Micah.
Micah. How are you?
I'm all right. Work was kind of hell, and I've been sick. I'm getting over it, though.
You'll get better. Yeah, I know.
And I heard the conversation, and I was like, I have input. So I've been sitting here lurking for like 15 minutes, just sitting and listening.
Spill it.
Go for it.
Well, no, just, you know, the whole thing with Monks, you know, he's just a crappier Steve Jobs, you know? And that's pretty sad because Steve Jobs wasn't the greatest of human beings either.
No.
He was a marvelous marketer. As another marvelous marketer, Donnie. Not good at pretty much anything else in his miserable life, but a pretty fucking good marketer.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say marketer. I'd say self-promoter.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe that's a distinction without a difference.
Yeah, well, there's a class on marketing. On being P.T. Barnum, maybe there's not necessarily a class on that.
Sucker born every minute?
There you go.
There we go.
The egress. Which way to the egress, right, Robin?
No, this way to the egress.
This way to the egress.
It costs you a nickel to find out.
Love it. I love it. That's all the maggots.
I mean, we know they're suckers. This is a billionaire who says he was going to sell fun. But when he needs money, he says, I'll send me your money so I can pay my legal bills.
Send me $24 or $47 or $75 or $132.16 or other amount.
Or Jeremy 666,
no, the sign on this this past fall, the fight of the indictment in New York, was a suggested amount of $3,300. Was a suggested amount you should give to him.
Yeah, Robin, you still get all those emails, right? Don't you?
Every one of them.
The sad thing is that then people probably actually do that. Like,
people are actually sending
him that kind of money, and I'm like... That's, like, not a small amount of money. Like, people are going into, like, their retirement savings and stuff like that. And I sort of feel bad, even though I also sort of don't.
And they send that check right after they send their check to 700 Club still.
They'll go out of meals. They'll go out of insulin. They'll ration their own money to send him money.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa said, fuck all y'all. Going back to the conversation that Steve initiated. Fuck all y'all with your feminine Jesus. The God that I praise to sent his son to save the world, not his daughter. And God created Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve. You do that too well, Asa.
It's like when I start yelling at you on text when you start doing your Donnie impression. I'm like, stop!
Make it stop. Make it go away. If you only knew the dysphoria that generates, if you only knew... The cost, the emotional and psychological cost with all these voices that live in my head.
Yeah, but it's so necessary for the show. The show wouldn't be the same without it.
No, it wouldn't. It definitely wouldn't.
My ears, they burn.
It hurts as us. Okay, I do. Micah, I'm sorry you got here relatively late. I hope you'll...
Stay on the back porch with us.
Yeah, stay on the back porch play. Because I got a roll. And by the way, stick around 9 o'clock over on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. Tara and I will be filling in for Malloy again. And we will do so again on Mondays. And she and I just have so much daggum fun. When we start talking.
He deserves a break. He needs a break.
He does, and I hope he's enjoying the long... I hope he enjoys the long weekend. Mm-hmm. Because Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back Monday. So he's got 4 days to de-stress and relax and decompress, and then, you know, come Tuesday, it's coffee breaks over back on your head. Anybody got any plans for what you're going to do for Mama this weekend? Mother's Day, you know.
We did some garage sailing because we have a really big, there's a main road that goes pretty much all the way down to Detroit and then up through Flint here and then upstate. And it's basically a giant garage sale. We went and picked up a bunch of stuff, and we got her like some china and a nice vase and whatnot. We're going to pack that up and... send that up to her. I'm going to drive that up to her on Sunday.
Nobody tell Micah's mom. Shh, it's a secret. It's a surprise. I'm trying to talk Annette into letting me take her to brunch on Sunday at Tamarack. They put on a really lovely brunch.
Ooh.
Homemade quiche. The quiche is to die for. So it's so light and fluffy, you wonder how it sits on the plate without floating away. And they've got Bloody Marys and margaritas and mimosas and such. Neither of us will order them, but you know, they've at least got them, you know. I hope everybody has a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. If your mom's still around, tell her how much you love her. If you're a dad, tell the mother of your children how special she is. And if you're a mom, all the blessings in the world upon you. You are special beyond expression. So I guess that's pretty much it. Micah, do feel free to stick around and get to know the gang a little bit better. It's awfully good to have you in. Just love that. New voices. Yay. Thanks.
Yeah, I just was listening and saw the button, and I was like, ooh, and then I was in here, and I was like, ooh.
Well, you are a computer genius, so.
I don't know if I'm monk's level.
But it's a good bunch. Get to know them. Tell them about yourself. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks for the miracle this week. Thanks for making sure that this program stayed on the air. The extortion demands of Appalachian Power are breathtaking. And I share some of those other things about things I think about, just so you can know a little bit about what it's like. Kind of behind the scenes. Thanks to all of our a la carte contributors this evening. We got down to just $47 away from being fully funded for the whole week. And so we'll be at $647 come Monday. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky. And thank you to Roger. And we missed you, Steve. Steve's one of the hardest working folks I know. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, please, like and subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. Leave a comment. Share it on social media with your friends and neighbors. I really appreciate it when I see things like that. Pauline, in regard to yesterday's podcast, Pauline said, inside this podcast is some interesting information about the deplorable Chris Licht of CNN and the debt of his health, if not his life, that he owes to Joe Biden. Thank you, Pauline. Thank you so much. And if in regard to Mother's Day, one thing, because Mother's Days are rough for those of us who don't have moms or whose moms are no longer with us. I'm one of those people. If it's a new thing for you, cherish her memory and let that memory be a blessing to you and try to have it overcome fresh grief. Because it was about love all along, wasn't it? Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Well, it's the 12th of May. Get your booster if you're eligible for it. And now we're on the hook for it, huh? Because maggots. And wear your mask when you're around those, because they're a diseased lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance where possible. And for God's sakes, if some snowy-haired multimillionaire happens to walk up to you on the sidewalk and says, "You've got to stop staying in your silos," well, avoid Anderson Cooper like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, who was a mom, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Later.